Well, brethren, we've received many blessings this day at the Lord's hands, and we have a special blessing in store for us now, a devotional service. And we'll let Brother Paul Lagneau take over from here.
Thank you, Brother David. Brother, I'm very thankful to have this opportunity again to be in front of you. I'm very thankful, especially that Joyce is here and able to join with us. We gave a talk on grace yesterday, and certainly the Lord has already called me to task on whether I would apply that understanding. And I'm very thankful for his grace sufficient for us. One thing I didn't mention yesterday was that we're also having a convention next April. It's not on April Fool's Day. It's the end of April, April 28th and 29th, and our program should be out in Chicago. We invite all of you to join with us in that special time. A couple weeks ago, I called Brother David Rice on the phone because I looked at the program and looked at Friday's Vesper, and Brother Joe Migas had just a Vesper service, and then I turned over to Saturday, and it's a special devotional service. And well, that kind of bothered me for a while, so I had to call Brother David and ask him, what do you mean by a special devotional service? How is it different from a Vesper? And he said, well, it's just a half an hour longer. So now you know the difference between the two Vesper services. The theme that I chose for tonight's Vesper is found in Ephesians 5, and it was covered in our panel discussion on the Holy Spirit. And it's a familiar one to all of us that we don't get drunk with wine. Many conventions that, in fact, all of us probably at one time or another, possibly in our professional lives, have attended conventions outside of the Bible student conventions. And what do they do in the evenings? Services usually is... they have a good time, and they usually imbibe in wine and song. And maybe this is the meaning of this scripture when it says, do not be drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart for the Lord. And so we have this time when we can feel good. We can raise our hearts and our minds up to the Lord in thanksgiving for all He's done for us, and certainly receive the filling of His Spirit as a result. We want to start off with joining our voices together, and the hymn will be on the screen, singing, I Come to Thee. Very beautiful hymn.
Thank you.
There's another reason besides just the half-hour space of time that this is a special meeting. It's special to me because you're God's people, and you're a special people, a called-out people. And the scripture in 1 Peter 2 says that you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. One of the things that make us peculiar as American brethren is that we have a Western culture. Certainly we're on the West Coast here. And the next hymn we're going to hear is from a brother who sang it at the International Convention in Europe, and all the Polish brethren thought that this brother was a great country and Western. Really, he's from the East Coast. Brother Boone is going to serve us with the thoughts "We Know Who Holds Tomorrow." And these thoughts are based in Matthew 6, and I just want to read very quickly the scriptures in Matthew 6. "For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life, as what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or nor for your body as what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And you are you not worth much more than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to your lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They don't toil, they don't spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do for you, O men of little faith? Do not be anxious then, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink?' But seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Brother Boone.
Sun is always always shining. There no tear will dim the eye. At the ending of the rainbow, where the mountains touch the sky, many things about tomorrow we don't seem to understand, but we know who holds tomorrow, and we know who holds our hand. We don't know about tomorrow. It may bring us poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by thee. And the path that be our portion may be through the flame or flood, but his presence goes before us, and we're covered with his blood. Many things about tomorrow we don't seem to understand, but we know who holds tomorrow, and we know who holds our hand.
That concept of trust in the Lord, it seems so simple, but so difficult to accomplish in our lives. We want to next hear the choir, who has practiced several times for us, sing a hymn, which is also similar to the one that Brother Boone sang. This concept of that the Lord knows the things that are best for us, and we just need to reach out on a daily basis, looking to His Word and His providence in our lives. So if we can have the choir come up and the lights come up a little bit.
Thank you. Thank you, brethren. We have some original talent among us. One of the blessings to me is to see the Lord's inspiration in the hearts of his brethren in a way that they write it down and share it with us, either in song or in word. One of the talents I've discovered recently has been our dear brother Aaron from the Portland area. And we called him a couple weeks ago and asked him if he might present something to the brethren here, because we found out that he would be coming. And so he prepared a special poem called Patience, Trust, and Faith, based upon the, I guess, Lamentations 3:26, which is hoping quietly for salvation. What a beautiful thought. Brother Aaron?
Patience, the yoke of thy youth, he must patiently endure for the truth. Hope quietly for salvation in easy times and in tribulation. He knows our every need, but still we ask why. When we withhold our trust, to ourselves we lie. Promises through patience inherit. Patience through wisdom is a merit. Faith has a chance to grow when times are most hard. But trials that are too tough, those trials are barred. To gain the job of priests, we require on-the-job training. Whether sunshine or storms, our faith must be all-sustaining. He's a refuge for the oppressed, a hand in troublous times. He asks for a little faith to release us of our crimes. Hope in his mercy, finds strength under his wings. He accepts the faith of the lowly when deserving the faith of kings. The world crumbles around me, still I lie in peace. I know to wait and trust for the captive's release. Grateful for the hard times, as well as the tender, all trials yield blessing when to him we fully surrender.
Thank you, Brother Aaron. All trials will work out for good. Brother Richard, bring up the next slide. We want to introduce you here to a group of children. These are the children from the Midwest Bible Student Youth Camp, 1989. This year was a special year. Joyce and I had the opportunity to be with them. The theme of camp this year, Brother Richard, if you would go to the next slide. The theme of camp was a tabernacle in the wilderness. In case you don't know anything about the camp in the Midwest, this year there was approximately 90 campers between the ages of 9 to 18 and about 40 counselors serving in various capacities, all the way from serving in the kitchen to counselors, and those that even came weeks and months early to prepare the camp for the children. And the theme of this year's camp experience was the tabernacle, and some ambitious brothers came a few days early and built a scale model of the tabernacle in the wilderness, without, of course, the court curtains. But you can see there the brazen altar, the laver, and the tabernacle proper. And it was a very big blessing. The children would awake every morning, and it did... there was kind of this aura around the... did rain a few days, and many of the days they'd wake up and there'd be this kind of fog around the tabernacle. And it was covered up for the whole week. You couldn't see inside of it, just the way the Israelites would have seen it, until the last day, when there was a reenactment of the Day of Atonement sacrifices. Brother Richard, can you go to the next... And a brother, one of the counselors, on his way to camp, was inspired to write these words, and even he had the melody in his mind when he arrived at the camp, and he wrote down these words and music when he arrived. And I'm going to sing this, called The Tabernacle in the Wilderness, and while I'm singing it, you'll see some of the scenes from that reenactment of the Day of Atonement sacrifices that was put on by the counselors at the camp this year. If you have any questions about this, you can ask me afterwards. It was very well done and done very reverently, and the children received a big blessing. I wish Joyce would join me on this.
Would you like to?
It's what we had planned.
Can you read? Is that bothering you? Okay. Just see the chords.
Okay. We've been wandering through this wilderness for oh so many years, and our path's been paved with sorrow, and our ways been washed with tears. But the Lord has always led us by His eye and with His hand, and soon the Lord will lead us into the promised land. And the tabernacle in the wilderness has been a witness to us both day and night. And the tabernacle in the wilderness reminds us of God's mercy and His might. Now the path that we have taken is a different one indeed than the one that God intended on the night that we were free. But He let us have our willful way in hopes that we might see that it's better far to follow Him throughout eternity. And the tabernacle in the wilderness has been a witness to us both day and night. And the tabernacle in the wilderness reminds us of God's mercy and His might. God took Moses to the mountaintop to see the land below. Then He crossed the river Jordan and defeated Jericho. But the lesson of that victory rang out both loud and clear. If we listened 40 years ago, we'd already be here. And the tabernacle in the wilderness has been a witness to us both day and night. And the tabernacle in the wilderness reminds us of God's mercy and His might. Now the lesson of the Israelites is obvious, my friend. If we follow our God closely, then how soon our journey ends. But if by mistakes you find that there's a longer path you roam, then just try the very best you can, and God will bring you home. And the tabernacle in the wilderness has been a witness to us. Reminds us of God's mercy and His mind. When I think of the tabernacle, I think of the Apostle Paul's statement in Hebrews about our full assurance of faith, and a very beautiful passage that's familiar to all of us in Hebrews 10, after he goes through talking about the Day of Atonement sacrifices. He says, "Since therefore, brethren, we have boldness or confidence to enter into the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." We're going to be blessed now with another hymn that's along this line of faith and trust in the Lord. And I think the longer we are all in the narrow way, the more and more we appreciate how the Lord leads us through even the little things of life and how important His grace is in our everyday activities. And we have the famous Wade Austin trio that's Sister Jackie and Sister Betty and Brother Wade.
Joy.
Beautiful. Scripture that has been a blessing recently that I've never saw before has been a scripture in Psalm 134 that talks about serving the Lord in the nighttime in His tabernacle or His temple. And reminded me of course, the nighttime of sin and death, when we have to endure the pain and sorrow of certainly the afflictions of Adam, as well as the afflictions of Christ in the narrow way. And we've asked our sister Gracia, if she would, Gracia Carmer, if she would come up and read a selection this is a selection from the book Streams in the Desert. And it really beautifully illustrates the aspect of faith, where we have to walk with the pain, the path of pain, where faith is needed, and to cling to the promises that the Lord has given to us. So we've asked Sister Gracia to come up.
Ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. Strange time for adoration, you say, to stand in God's house by night, to worship in the depth of sorrow. It is indeed an arduous thing. Yes, and therein lies the blessing. It is the test of perfect faith. If I would know the love of my friend, I must see what it can do in the winter. So with divine love. It is easy for me to worship in the summer sunshine when the melodies of life are in the air and the fruits of life are on the tree. But let the song of the bird cease and the fruit of the tree fall. And will my heart still go on to sing? Will I stand in God's house by night? Will I love Him in His own night? Will I watch with Him even 1 hour in His Gethsemane? Will I help to bear His cross up the dolorous way? Will I stand beside Him in His dying moments with Mary and the beloved disciple? Will I be able with Nicodemus to take up the dead Christ? Then is my worship complete and my blessing glorious. My love has come to Him in His humiliation. My faith has found Him in His loneliness. My heart has recognized His majesty through His mean disguise, and I know at last that I desire not the gift, but the giver. When I can stand in His house by night, I have accepted Him for Himself alone. My goal is God Himself, not joy nor peace, nor even blessing, but Himself, my God. 'Tis His to lead me there, not mine, but His, at any cost, dear Lord, by any road. So faith bounds forward to its goal in God, and love can trust her Lord to lead her there. Upheld by Him, my soul is following hard, till God hath fulfilled my deepest prayer. No matter if the way is sometimes dark, no matter though the cost be oft times great, He knoweth how I best shall reach the mark. The way that leads to Him must needs be straight. One thing I know, I cannot say Him nay. One thing I do, I press towards my Lord. My God, my glory here from day to day, and in the glory there my great reward.
Thank you.
What a Wonderful Savior is the title of our next selection. It's a beautiful hymn, one that I never knew lent itself to the guitar as well as the voice. And we're going to have Sister Teresa Parkinson sing that beautiful hymn for us. Brethren, I hope that this evening's Vesper, special Vesper, was a blessing and a rest to you in this faith that we have in our wonderful, the wonderful plan of the ages and the wonderful Lord and Savior that we have. And again, this scripture that we shouldn't get drunk with wine, but we should be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs,
singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. Let's close with the singing of All the Way My Savior Leads Me. While the chairman's coming up, I just want to thank everybody who participated tonight, and thank the Lord especially for his blessings. Brother David?
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Paul, and brethren who's served. Certainly, brethren, there's no greater joy than for all of us to come together and sing praises to the Lord and to worship together in one spirit in Christ Jesus our Lord. This devotional brings this day to a close. I know we've received many blessings from the Lord today, and we have much in store for us tomorrow. There is one change in the program for tomorrow. You know the scripture that says the first shall be last and the last shall be first? That basically explains the change for tomorrow. Brother Carl Hagensick was scheduled to serve us at 9:45 to 10:30. He'll switch with Brother Paul Malley, who is scheduled to serve last. So Brother Paul tomorrow will be first and Brother Carl will be last, rather than the way it was originally planned. Okay, that's the only change.
Brother Paul, did you have a hymn that's closer?
Okay. Maybe we can sing with the one with Shiv open, but 115.
Oh, I thought you said 151. Okay. Let us close with hymn 115, Brother Paul's choice, 115.
Thank you.
Almighty, gracious Heavenly Father, we again approach Thee this evening, thankful hearts for all Your many blessings, for the privileges that we have of meeting together with those of like precious faith, for the blessedness of knowing You and knowing Your plan, and even knowing Your present truth of realizing where we are on the stream of time. We long, Father, for that kingdom to soon be fully established that You've promised. We pray that we would be suitable to work with You and with Your dear Son in that kingdom. Help us through these days of convention to go forth with renewed zeal, renewed vigor to fight this good fight of faith. We pray not only for ourselves, but for all Your dear Israel the world over, that You would guide and direct them according to their needs. And we ask these things, praying that You would guide our rest tonight, that we may be refreshed. And we always pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.